Welcome to the SMA News Today podcast, episode 72. I'm your host, Kevin Schaefer, and I'm here with Michael Morale. Michael, how are you today?
Doing great, Kevin. How about you?
I'm doing really well. To our listeners out there, this is actually our final podcast episode of 2020. So we have made it through this crazy year, and so this is our final roundtable discussion. This episode will be a little different than usual. We're not really going to cover any big news or like research stuff that we generally do on these kinds of episodes. Instead, we're doing more of a kind of wrap up of the year. So we're going to kind of, Michael and I will have just kind of a loose conversation with each other about how we're doing mentally and physically. And then we'll kind of highlight some of our sort of content highlights from this year. So whether they be videos, podcasts, columns, we're just going to highlight a few pieces there. And yeah, so this one will be really enjoyable, and I look forward to it. So, Michael, before we start, if everyone could please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Genentech, the makers of a new FDA-approved treatment for SMA. To learn about our study results across different types of people with SMA, visit approvedforsma.com. That's approvedforsma.com.
Okay, well, to start off, Michael, why don't we talk a little bit? I know with you, and you have made videos about this and talked about it in podcasts before, but I know you have been on EVRISD for a little bit now. So could you talk about, give listeners just an update on how that's going, any obstacles you've run into, and kind of where you are in that process?
Yeah. I started EVRISD nearly 2 months ago, almost 2 months ago, and it was an easy process for me. I'd been on Spinraza for nearly 3 years and decided that I would make the switch over to EVRISD just for a couple of different reasons. I think convenience for me was the main reason. Not that going to the hospital 3 times a month was that big of a deal. The injections that I received were not bad to receive. I mean, and I wasn't really necessarily having problems. I just thought, you know, being able to take something on a daily basis might benefit me more than taking something every 4 months. So we started the process, and really from the time that we filled out the paperwork to the time that I got the approval from my insurance was literally about a week. It really did not take that long. I think the part that took a little bit longer than what we had thought it would was getting some extra funding for it, because you've got two different deductibles. You got your insurance deductible, and then you have a medication deductible. So they put me on a program that would help pay for my insurance deductible, but just the deductible for the medication was going to be about $2,200 a month. And even that was, you know, way out of my price range. So Genentech started a patient foundation. So my access liaison requested that I be put on this program. And probably a couple of weeks later, we got the approval. So after that, I received a phone call from Accredo Specialty Pharmacy. They're the ones that do all the shipping of the EVRISD. And they told me that I had been approved, and they went over all of the details with regards to how to take it, how to store it. Don't take it, if it's been this long after a meal, just all the do's and don'ts of EVRISD. And I received my first shipment. And ever since then, I've been on it. So it's been almost 2 months, and it's been a smooth transition. Just a few little issues that have cropped up that I'm thinking it's just going to take my body some time to get used to. My bowels were a little loose for quite a while, and longer than what we thought they would be. And my doctor even thought about taking me off of EVRISD for a while to see if that cleared up. But over the course of the past week, everything is almost gotten back to normal. I'm still experiencing a few little issues with regards to bowel issues. But other than that, everything has been a smooth transition.
No, that's really good to hear. And with the bowel issues, I have spoken to others in the community that have experienced that as well. And kind of on your point, would you say that just for others who are interested in the treatment or have some questions, from your perspective, do you think that it has become more manageable over time? And you think it, like you said, it is just more your body adapting to it as it's a new drug and that kind of thing?
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think any time that you introduce your body to a new drug or a new treatment, whether it be for SMA or just any kind of illness, you know, usually you get this way when a doctor prescribes any kind of an antibiotic for you. So I just look at it as being something that my body just needs to adjust to. Some people will adjust to it faster than others. You know, I was hoping to adjust to it quickly, but it's taken a little bit longer than what I would have liked, but my body seems to be adjusting pretty good for it or at it right now. So I think it's something that each independent person is going to have to go through. Everybody's going to have a different reaction to it. Other people have experienced other side effects, such as, you know, like headaches, or even I've heard of some people having a mild fever when they first start taking it, but I never experienced those. So everybody's different, but I seem to be adjusting to it okay now.
Good. That's really good to hear. And because, you know, I do know others who did have to make the switch back. Like they got on Evrysdi for a little while and then decided to switch back to Spinraza because of the side effects. And it's very much it's a case by case basis, and you have to do what's best for yourself, for your body. But I am glad to hear that it's, you know, you're getting more used to it now. So that's really good. And Michael, talking a little bit about, before we get into kind of a mental health chat, we want to just talk a little bit about physical therapy and just kind of like where we're doing in that regard. Do you have any updates there? I mean, I know this is something you talk about very regularly and on your personal website and your YouTube channel, but especially since you started Evrysdi, have you tried anything new at PT or just any updates there you want to share?
No, I haven't really tried anything new. Considering that Evrysdi does the same thing that Spinraza does with regards to addressing the protein deficiency in the SMN2 gene, you know, I've heard some people experience a little bit of extra strength when they go on Evrysdi. I haven't really noticed that. I still feel good. My energy is through the roof. I've got really good breathing. You know, I don't have any issues with regards to anything that I've noticed since I've been on Evrysdi. With regards to my physical therapy, that's pretty much stayed the same. I know, and we'll talk about Scholar Rock here in just a little while, but I know that their muscle targeted therapy will be something that will probably change my physical therapy up quite a bit, because now instead of just exercising to maintain what I've got, you know, and so I don't lose anything, it'll be more of a muscle directed therapy. My physical therapy will change at that point, because then we'll be able to start focusing on specific muscles like bicep and tricep and other muscles in my body. So my physical therapy is still going well. No changes, doing just a lot of core strengthening, a lot of flexing and stretching, which has really helped. I know with the damage that I've got in my right hip, the stretching has really helped. So if anybody is experiencing any problems, such as, you know, hip or knee or any kind of postural type of aches and pains, for me, physical therapy has done wonders. So fortunately, I'm not at physical therapy today because my caregiver been around and have contracted the virus. So I've been exposed. So now that means I'm stuck at home for the next week and a half or 2 weeks. So I should be at physical therapy right now instead of doing this interview with you.
I know you guys, heaven forbid, you got to talk with me, but I know we've talked about it outside of this, but I'm I really do hope for your caregivers for a speedy recovery. And I know, of course, Deanne wrote about it on the forums and talked about it in her flash briefings that she also had the same experience with a caregiver testing positive. And it is a really scary time. And, you know, even with all the precautions we're taking, there's still, you know, there's always a risk out there. And so, yeah, no, I do really feel for you guys. And I'm glad Deanne's caregiver recovered. She's back to her normal schedule. So hopefully yours will be back to normal as well very soon. Just on my end, I would say, you know, like I do aquatic therapy and I've been doing that for about 5 years now. So I started long before Spinraza was even available. But similar to what you said, I mean, it's very beneficial for me and it's something I've written about many times before. I haven't really tried anything new lately either, but that kind of flexibility I have in the water is very beneficial to me, and it's a good resource for not just physical health but mental as well. I had a clinic appointment the other day, and I think a lot of us have been really isolated this year, the one advantage to that is that I have not shown any, I gotten even any colds or anything. And so my PFT levels were stronger than last time. My Spinraza evaluation went really well. So like my physical health has been really good. And I mean, the one advantage to being isolated more from big crowds is I'm not as susceptible to not just, you know, the infinite C word, but traditional colds and viruses as well. So my physical health has been really good. And it's definitely been a crazy year, but I am fortunate, and I know you are as well, to still be able to go to therapy. And for me, it was interrupted for a little while there at the beginning of the pandemic when my clinic was only seeing emergency patients for a while. But so I went a couple months without it and then got back in the swing of things around June. And, you know, now I'm back to weekly. So, similar to you, it is a very, like, important part of my routine and something I value. And so, you know, and I know we've said this many times before, but for any listeners out there, if you're interested in talking about physical therapy or aquatic therapy or any of that, you know, we're always happy to discuss that on the forums and provide you with any resources to help you get to that point and find a physical therapist in your area. I know getting started is often the hardest part, but for me, I know for Michael, it's definitely been a really big benefit to our lives. So it's something I encourage others in the community to pursue as well, if you can. I do want to, Michael, I do want to talk about, because I know we talk a lot about physical health, particularly in these discussions and treatments and whatnot, but I do, especially with this year and how crazy it's been, I do want to talk about mental health for a little bit and kind of like what are our coping mechanisms for that. So before we jump into that, if everyone could listen to one more word from our sponsor.
This podcast is made possible by a sponsorship from Genentech. Are you living with SMA, or are you a caregiver for someone who is? A new treatment has just been FDA approved based on studies of different types of people living with SMA. Genentech extends a special thanks to all of the individuals, families, and healthcare providers who participated in the studies that led to making this new treatment option a reality. To learn more about this new treatment, visit approvedforsma.com.
Okay, so Michael, you know, obviously, year, and we've all had to really adapt and change a lot in our lives to protect ourselves from the virus and just, you know, really adjust to everything in, you know, this quote unquote new normal. But thinking about mental health and, you know, ways we've been able to just cope and, you know, deal with the changes we've had to undergo this year. What for you, Michael, what are some, I guess, coping mechanisms and tips you've picked up in order to tend to your mental health as much as your physical this year?
Well, for me, working from home, I know a lot of people love to be around others. And I'm kind of that way because I taught college for 18 years. I really enjoy the classroom environment. I like being around people. So working from home is something that's, I'm not going to say it's new to me, but it's still a little bit odd. I like the social interaction of being around people. I mean, we talk with each other all day on the phone anyway, but you still miss that personal touch, you know, that personal element.
Sure.
When it comes to working in a office type setting. So I think that's where my physical therapy really helped, because it gives me a chance to get out of the house, to be around others that I can interact with. I can, you know, I can see them, they can see me. I mean, a conference call is great, but there's for me, there's nothing better than you know, a one-on-one discussion or a discussion with a group of people when you're there with them physically, not just electronically. So, you know, physical therapy has really played a key part in that. I know that my physical therapist writes a monthly article for the SMA News Today HCP site, which is our healthcare provider site. And that's the topic that she picked this month, was how much physical therapy, you know, even though it's physical therapy, it's also mental and emotional therapy, because, you know, it gives us a chance to get out of the house, to break free from these jail walls that we call home every once in a while. So that's really the way that I cope. I like to just get out of the house once in a while, even if it's for a 30-minute drive. Just get out of the house and, you know, go somewhere for 30 minutes or an hour. Get out of those surroundings that you're so used to, because I think, you know, just getting out of the house once in a while can do you just a world of good. So that's why physical therapy has been so important to me. And of course, you know, my friends, I normally go over to a friend of mine who I grew up with, her and her sister, whenever we were little. So I go over to her house every Thanksgiving and every Christmas, because both of my parents are now deceased and most of my family live elsewhere other than around me. So, you know, unfortunately, I didn't get to go spend Thanksgiving with them. I still may be able to spend Christmas, depending on, you know, how things are going. But, you know, just trying to stay safe and healthy. But I really did miss the interaction with all of my friends and, you know, their family members. It's, you know, her parents are like my parents. You know, I grew up with, you know, them and their parents for, you know, 20 some odd years while we all lived next door to each other. So that was a little bit disappointing. But other than that, I think, you know, if we can weather this storm, I think next year is going to be a whole lot different. It may not be different for a while. I mean, I still think we have a couple more months of this to have to deal with, but hopefully we're getting back at least a little bit closer to what we might consider normal. So, you know, we just need to hang in there, you know, and we will make it through this.
Absolutely. You know, you bring up some great points. And I think for me, you know, echoing a lot of things you said, you know, I am a very social person, and while I have already been working from home past few years, so, you know, before the pandemic ensued, before March, I had a really good work-life balance, and I was able to, you know, after work, I would go to Barnes & Noble right by my house and hang out there. I'd go to movies or restaurants with friends, and so I had a really good balance there, and, you know, I was always, like, getting out as much as I could, and then I definitely, physical therapy appointments or aquatic for me, do everything you said as well. So once, you know, the pandemic hit and things changed, you know, it did take a big toll on me. I think in particularly, in the summer months when I'm so used to traveling and, you know, of course we missed the SMA conference and, that went virtual and, you know, all these other trips and things I had planned were, you know, no longer happening. So that did take a big toll on me mentally and emotionally. And it, you know, I'm definitely going to say it has not been easy to cope with all that this year. And, you know, there are plenty of times where I have felt like really isolated, really burned out from, because like you said, I mean, it's great, the technology we have today and the ability to, you know, connect with people online or maybe across the country or across the world even. But like you said, nothing can replace that in-person, face-to-face interaction. And so that's something I've deeply missed this year. But yeah, for in terms of coping, you know, getting through this year and probably in the coming months as well, yeah, still going to aquatic therapy has helped a lot. Doing socially distanced visits with friends and family and that kind of thing has helped a lot. But yeah, I've had to really be careful. And you know, and really important for me is just having time away from the computer and, you know, reading physical books and just taking time to myself and decompressing. All of those things have played a big part in getting through this year. So I have certainly days that are better than others, but yeah, that's just something I really wanted to talk about because especially in a year like this, mental health and tending to mental and emotional health is more important than ever. Not that it has ever been not important, but especially with all the craziness of this year, you know, that's something I really advocate for. And so to our listeners out there, you know, seek out therapy and mental health resources whenever you're struggling, because it is so important. And, you know, I can't wait for the day when we are back to big in-person gatherings and, you know, the SMA conferences resume, and not just that, but plenty of other groups that I'm involved in and Comic Cons and all these things where I really thrive in. I'm looking forward to all those resuming, but until then, you know, I'm glad that like I'm safe and healthy. And yeah, it's just kind of taking things day by day and, you know, talking to people as much as possible, getting as much social interaction as I can. And like I said, yeah, I mean, books provide me with a big source of refuge. I can't tell you how many books I've read this year and how many movies I've watched, and all of those things are really important outlets for me. So yeah, it's just, it's something that I definitely, again, wanted to really talk about on this episode. And I am very optimistic about the future. And I think with the vaccine on the way, hopefully by this time next year, we'll be in a much better place. And, but yeah, especially to any SMAers out there, take care of your mental health. And, it's something that we can talk about on the forums and, you know, but absolutely tend to those needs and, you know, talk with each other, connect. So absolutely. But yeah, and I guess one other note I'll add on there that, since like I said, the CareSMA conference went virtual this past summer, we've actually been doing adult socials every month, and they're for families as well. But, that's been a really big source of comfort for me as well. Granted, while I do work with you and other, people in the SMA community, and obviously other people in all kinds of rare disease communities through work, because the parent company we work for is a, media company that focuses on a wide range of rare diseases and disabilities. So I have that interaction on a daily basis, but it's been really cool doing that kind of like Zoom calls every month with other adults in the SMA community and just, you know, getting to connect with people either I've already met in person and know really well, and also getting to meet new people and build those relationships online. So that's, I think, one good thing to come out of all this mess this year is that, you know, virtual connections are still really powerful. And I think they will stick around even when we get back into in-person. You know, we still have the ability to connect with people all around the world virtually. And I think those connections are really important just as much as in-person ones. So I know that was quite rambling there, but again, this is an important topic. And so, Michael, is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, I think you summed it up really well. And no, you were not rambling.
Yeah.
I think what you said made a lot of sense. I think if anything, one of the good things that has come from this is that, you know, working from home has been great for us, and we really didn't notice that much of a change with regards to our work environment because we already did that. But I think one of the good things about the way that our technology has changed is, you know, telemedicine and these other things that we never really did with our doctors. That's what we're doing now. And I think, you know, that's been a definite benefit for us. That's something that has emerged, and I think it's going to continue even after the pandemic ends. So there are definitely some benefits that have come out of this. And I think trying to focus on the good things, because there's so many bad things. If you can just focus on one good thing, it will help your mental outlook. Trust me, it will. It does for me. And I know everybody that I talk to says that if you can focus on those one or two good things that have come out of this, we can make it through this, and we will. It's just going to take a while.
Absolutely. And I think that is so important. And you know, there, like, I think there's a difference too between just, you know, highlighting the good things without being ignorant. You know, I mean, like, you don't want to, like, and that's certainly a trap you can fall into, but I think it's okay to recognize the good and bad simultaneously. But yeah, absolutely. When you dwell solely on the negative, it's going to lead you into just, you know, a really bad mental state. And so it's absolutely important to, you know, while you can still recognize, you know, the losses, and this is something, you know, like Brianna Albers, one of our columnists, writes about frequently. I mean, she's a really high mental health expert and studied this in grad school, but she talks about that a lot, that it's okay to recognize, like, the hurt and the losses, and while also, you know, highlighting the good, and those things can coexist, and I think that's a really beautiful thing. So yeah, awesome. Well thank you, Michael. And for the last part of this episode, since it is end of the year and we want to highlight, and again, with all the craziness that went on this year, I think here at SMA News Today, we put out some great content all year long, both in, and we, you know, all kinds of departments, whether it was multimedia, forums, news, columns, we have a ton of content we put out this year. And so I just want to kind of take a few minutes and recognize some of that. And so what I'd like to do is just kind of like each of us highlight a few pieces of content that we're really proud of and that we wanted to share with you all. And so, Michael, why don't you start? If you have, like, again, it can be a video, a podcast, a column. What's one piece you want to highlight from this year?
Well, that's a tough one to choose from, because I think we have so many good things that we have done this year. But Deanne Runge is another one of our vloggers that she does a video, and it's called Dose of Deanne. And she's done a couple of videos, or she's done a lot of videos this year that have been spectacular. I know you're going to talk about one of them, mm-hmm. but she did a YouTube video not too long ago, about a month and a half ago, regarding her getting her new service dog. Both of us know that earlier this year, Deanne's service dog suddenly passed away. And so she was without a service dog for quite a few months. And she found out that she applied for another one, and it didn't take as long as what she had originally thought. And they called her and said that they had a service dog for her, and she and her mother went and traveled, I think, over, I don't know, one or two states. But anyway, they were able to go to that facility, and it normally takes 2 weeks of training, but since the pandemic, they've reduced the amount of training to a week. So she actually videotaped some of her training sessions that she had to go through, and she introduced her dog to us. And she's got a beautiful black lab. I get it's a mix, but it's absolutely beautiful, beautiful dog. And his name is Horton, which I always found to be a funny name from the old Dr. Seuss books. But Horton has really turned out to be a great dog for her. And her video just really highlights the benefits of having a service dog. And, you know, somebody asked me if I was going to get one. And I thought, you know, right now I don't need a service dog because I don't really go a lot of places. But if I was out and about more than I am now, I would probably get a service dog because I'm always dropping something on the floor. You know, I'm always encountering a door that I can't get through because I can't open it. So that's something that a service dog can definitely help you with. And so it may be something that's, let's just say it's on my radar, but it's not a top priority right now. But her video really detailed what she went through and how she managed to train with the dog. And some of the steps that she took. And it was just a great video. It was very much from the heart, which I thought was really good. So, you know, I applaud Deanne on that video, because there's a lot of people, there are a lot of people that need service dogs and they don't know how to do it. So hopefully that video will shed some light and maybe help someone else that's looking at the possibility of getting a service dog and they don't know what to do. So, and that's other things that we can talk about on the forum. If somebody has any questions regarding how to get a service dog, we can definitely walk you through the steps, maybe get you in contact with somebody in your area. So we'll do anything that we can to help somebody get a service dog, or if they have any other questions. That's the reason why we love our forums as much as we do, is because it's a great source of information.
Absolutely. No, and that really was a great video. That was one I had looked at as well. It just, like you said, really guides people through the experience, and she captured some great footage from the camp there, and it was really cool to see, because I also had a service dog for a long time too, and I remember going to that camp years ago, and to see the differences now because of obviously the restrictions in light of the pandemic, it was really interesting to see all of that play out. And yeah, Deanne did a fantastic job capturing that experience, and like I said, hopefully that was an encouragement to many out there, whether they're interested in pursuing a service dog, or maybe they've also gone through that experience too of losing one and might be interested in getting another at some point. So yeah, that was a great one. Awesome. Well, yeah, I have a few pieces I wanted to highlight. The first one is a podcast I did not too long ago with LaMondre Pugh. And this was, one of my favorite interviews I've done, just because LaMondre had so many great things to say. And it's a cool story of the background here, because LaMondre was a student at the elementary school that one of our other columnists, Helen Baldwin, used to work at. And Helen is a longtime family friend of mine, really good friends with my mom. And so she had written about LaMondre in one of her columns a few months ago. And then it was about a month or two later, I was on one of the aforementioned QRSMA adult Zoom socials, and LaMondre was there, and I got to meet him virtually, of course. And like, I was like, hey, I think I've seen your name before. And like, sure enough, because he had been written about on our site. And so we had set up a conversation, and yeah, there were just so many things from that conversation that he said that really blew me away. And it was just fascinating to talk with him, to hear about his experience as a kid going to that elementary school, which was primarily for students with disabilities, and then, you know, transitioning from there to one that was more traditional, and then all of his career experiences, and he became an entrepreneur, and now he does a lot of consulting work, and then is an executive at an organization that helps hire people with disabilities. So it was a really fascinating story just to hear him talk about all these things. And so for our listeners, if you haven't listened to that one, I highly encourage you to do. I think that was episode 69. And yeah, hopefully once all this mess is over, I can actually meet LaMondre in person, because he lives only one state away from me. But yeah, so that's one of the pieces I wanted to highlight. And then another was another one of Deanne's videos. And this was about her testing out a Jayco arm, doing the demo for one. And obviously this was cool for me to see, because I have a Jayco arm, and mine is about 5 years old now, and I've been trying to get so many other SMAs to get one now that insurance has been more accepting of it, and like is approving more and more now, whereas they weren't approving any when I got mine. And so I have dreams of creating like a cyborg army at SMA conferences, so the more they can acquire these, the better. But in all seriousness though, it was really cool to see her test one out, and just to see that, like, the independence that it could give her. And I know that's something she is pursuing as well. I think it got a little sidetracked because of she was also getting a new wheelchair, and then getting Horton as well. So she had like a really busy few months there. But yeah, that was a great video, and it gave really good insight into the process of acquiring an arm. Obviously, for that one, she was just doing a demo and just testing one out to see if it would work for her. And she was really pleasantly surprised that it did. So I know she's now in the process of looking at getting one, and that would be really cool. So yeah, and also, you know, Michael, you and I did a podcast not too long ago with the CEO of Partners in Medicine, which is the American distributor for Canova Robotics. So they work directly with Canova to distribute Jayco Arms in the U.S. And that was a great interview, and we had a really good conversation with Ron there. So that's another one to check out. But yeah, her video is one I really wanted to highlight. So that's also one, if you have not checked out, please do so as soon as you can. I think you'll really find it really intriguing. But yeah. So, Michael, what about you? Do you have another piece or two you want to highlight?
I think the only other one that I wanted to talk about was a video that she just did a couple of days ago. It's entitled Must Have Products for Winter, because she looked at a hand warmer that, you know, I don't know about you, but when my hands get cold, my body will just shut down.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like my body says, nope, your hands are cold. I'm not going to do a thing.
Oh,
and trying to find a hand warmer for me is difficult. Now, I live in the South, you know, I live in Texas. It doesn't get, you know, we don't get 15 feet of snow overnight like a lot of people do, but, you know, it still gets cold. And I think what makes our winters so bad is they're very humid. So it may be 20 degrees outside, and if it's not humid and if the wind's not blowing, you know, if the sun's out, it's not all that bad. It may be cold, but it's not, you know, bone chilling. But typically our winters are very overcast and very humid. So if it's 25 degrees and if it's humid outside and windy, it will go through you like a hot butter through knife, hot knife through butter. Wow, I got that one backwards, didn't I?
It's all good.
But anyway, so when she did this video over a hand warmer, I thought, you know, I think I'm going to give that thing a try. And I will tell you, that thing will heat your hands up really quick. And it's a great product. So, and I don't know if it's just me or if all SMAers have this issue with regards to regulating our body temperatures, because I don't like to be cold. My caregivers love it. They could set their thermostat on 20 degrees below zero and they would just be very, very happy with it. Me, if I could keep my thermostat at 75 or 80, that would be fine with me, because I don't like to get cold and I have a hard time warming up once I get cold. So I thought that video was really good, and it kind of helped me because I found a hand warmer that actually works. You just plug it in, it charges, and it'll hold a charge for about 4 to 6 hours. So it'll give you some good heat that you can, you know, either set it in your lap and put your hand on, or if you're strong enough to pick it up, you can hold it in your hands. It really does a great job. So, you know, that's one thing I try to do. I try to learn something from her videos, because usually when she does her videos, she's always talking about something that can help other people. So I thought that video was good.
No, that's a really good one. And, oh, I had the same problem. I mean, in terms of like, once the winter hits, it's crazy trying to stay warm. And I have boots on my feet, even when I'm inside, that help a lot. Cause for me, my feet and hands get cold very easily as well. And similar to you, it's like when I'm outside, it's hard to like, I can't really put on gloves or anything, cause then it makes it impossible to drive. So it's very tricky as well, trying to find devices that, accommodate my needs there. So yeah, actually that was a great video. And yeah, like you said, Deanne just does a really good job, like sharing her personal experiences and her daily life in the hopes that it will benefit others. And, you know, people will find something to relate to and may, like you said, learn something and find resources that could help them. So that's great. Well, the final piece I wanted to highlight, we've had a lot of great columns this year. And I'm not going to highlight in mine, don't worry. That would be a little too self-induced there. But there's a lot of great columns we've had this year from Alyssa, Halsey, Brianna, yours truly, Michael Kasten, Helen, Katie. We've got a really good team there. But one in particular I wanted to highlight there, this was tough because, I mean, there's many I could. But one I wanted to just give a shout out to was, this is a column Brianna wrote a few months ago It's titled Taking Pride in My Disability is a Revolutionary Act. And this was posted on July 27th of this year. And so this column had a lot to do with the ADA and Disability Pride Month. It's a subject that really fascinates me. And, you know, I mean, anyone who reads my stuff knows that, I'm much more interested in talking about, you know, disability as an identity and disability rights and that kind of thing. And what we can do to combat ableism and really negative stereotypes and all these things. And so in this column, Brianna talks about how when she was in middle school, she gave a presentation about the ADA. And she was at the time like really anxious about doing it because at that time she didn't really want to be associated with her disability. And that's something I can totally relate to as well. Because when I was a teenager, I wanted nothing to do with like disability communities or really identify as that. And like I talk about in my column all the time, I mean, that's the whole idea behind embracing my inner alien, is that it was a process for me to come to embrace my disability as a key part of my identity and take pride in it and, you know, and hope that others might see us as, you know, not only just like perfectly willing to contribute to society, but that we have, that disability is an inherent part of us and it's not something to be ashamed of or to fix, you know, it's just like, it's, you know, a part of who we are. And so I really like this column, and I'll read just a brief excerpt from here. Because she also talks about how with disability pride, that it also shouldn't distract from the fact that there is marginalization and oppression of disabled people around the world. And so while the ADA has done tremendous amount for us, like it's been a tremendous source of growth for us and made the world more accessible, there's still a long way to go. And so on that note, she writes in this paragraph, she says, "Justice work is never done, but celebrating our accomplishments is crucial to sustaining the movement. To me, Disability Pride Month is an opportunity to honor the lived experiences of disabled folks. To me, Disability Pride Month is an opportunity to bless myself, my heart, my holy anger, my hope for all the disabled kiddos out there who are waiting for their storybook ending." And that was just a really beautiful few sentences there that encapsulates a lot of what Brianna writes about regularly. And it was especially cool this year because I think it was back in, what was it, maybe April or something. It was earlier this year when the movie Crip Camp came out on Netflix, which we actually did an episode about on the podcast here, where we talked with one of our former MD News Today columnists, Ralph Yenez. And that was a great episode, and I really enjoyed that discussion. But that movie was a really monumental step, I think, for the disability community, because it reached a lot of people and it really explored the history of the disability rights movement and, what it means to have disability pride and all these things. And so, anyway, I really love this column by Brianna. And again, if you haven't checked that one out, hope you do. We'll link all of these in the description here. But yeah, so again, we've put out a lot of great content this year, but those are just a few pieces I wanted to highlight. I don't know. Michael, do you have any thoughts on that, what I just shared? I know I was kind of talking for a minute there.
No, I think Brianna is an excellent columnist. She, all of her writings are very, again, I hate using this word again, but really from the heart.
Oh, yeah.
She speaks a lot of really good, positive messages. And that's something I think in the column that you were talking about, is that, you know, we have to take pride in what we do. We were born into this community. Okay. It's not a club that you join. You have to be born into it, and you have to make the best of your life. I mean, everybody faces problems in life. Everybody's going to have challenges, and it's how you face those challenges and how you cope with those challenges is what's going to make you the best person you can be.
No, definitely. And yeah, I don't know. She just, that one in particular, she just hit on a lot of great things and really broke apart that, the meaning of like disability pride. And so, yeah, that was a really great one. Cool. Well, Michael, I think that wraps it up for today and actually for this year. So again, this is our final episode of 2020. And I want to thank all of our listeners out there for tuning in, whether it's every time we put out an episode or as often as you can. We really appreciate it. And, you know, if there's anything you want to see, we would love to hear your feedback as well. We're always looking to make our podcast, make all of our content the best it can be. If you have any feedback for us, things you would like to see us do in 2021, we would love to hear from you. So, of course, message us on the forums. You know, feel free to comment on our YouTube channel or on our main website. We would love to hear any feedback because we're always looking for new ideas and for any topics or ideas we haven't really talked about. You know, we would love to hear any suggestions you all may have. So. Awesome. And Michael, I want to thank you especially for, working with me the past few years and everything we've done together this year. And you are, essential part of the podcast and, this community as a whole. So I want to thank you for all your contributions this year as well.
Hey, Kevin, thank you. I've enjoyed it, even though it's been a really strange year.
Yep.
I think it's been a good year with regards to getting our patient communities the information that they need. And I've thoroughly enjoyed working with you in 2020, and I look forward to 2021.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, on that note, you can find more stories, conversations like this by tuning in and subscribing to this podcast. You can also check us out on our main website at smanewstoday.com, on our forums, our YouTube channel. I think that's about it. We've got, and then of course, Instagram and Facebook. And yeah, that quick highlight. That's another thing we did this year, of course, was 31 Days of SMA. That was a joy to be a part of as well. So yeah, check out all of that content. Again, thank you for listening, and we will see you next year. Take care, everyone.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.smanewstoday.com and be sure to follow us on social media and join our SMA News Today forums, a trusted SMA community ready to welcome you anytime.